A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord. We have come to accept that within the canon of our scripture, there are four Gospels. Now, there were a number of other Gospels that didn't make it into the canon, for various reasons. But of the four Gospels that we have today, one of them also almost didn't make the cut. And that is the Gospel of John. When you compare John's Gospel to the other three, and they are known as the Synoptic Gospels, Mark, Matthew, and Luke, John stands out as being quite unique and different. And when people read John's Gospel, sometimes there are similarities with the Synoptic Gospels, but more time than not, you read it and you're wondering, what is he saying? What is the message here? It's not transparent, it's not clear. And you may ask yourself, it sounds like a lot of gibberish. Well, of course it's not. But when you read Mark, Matthew, and Luke, it's very clear cut. There are certain things that you say, there are certain things you do, and if you do these things, then you are a good disciple. You are a good follower of Jesus. So you are to feed the hungry and clothe the naked, protect people, love your neighbor, pray for those who hurt you. So if you do all of these things that Jesus asked his disciples to do, then not only are you a good disciple, but you will find your way to eternal life. But that's not what the Synoptics were saying at all. Mark, Matthew, and Luke, what they were saying is that, yes, we are to do all these things that Jesus said and did. But why? Is it so that we can go to heaven, that we can have eternal life? It was never about a future life, a life after this existence. It was always a here and now. So what has happened over the centuries that we have had these scriptures, we have layered it with our culture and with our interpretation of what it means. But if we were to go back to the time when Jesus spoke these words and gave them to the crowds, not his disciples, but to the general crowd, he was speaking about a present reality. It's there in the Synoptic Gospels, but probably more challenging, and maybe it is the completion of the process, we find it in John. In order to do what Matthew, Mark, and Luke ask us to do, you have to read John. But it's not simply about reading the Gospel of John. It is in fact allowing ourselves to delve into the Word itself, to consume the Word so that the Word itself may consume us, may challenge us to the very core of our being. Otherwise, what we're left with is duty and obligation. It is my obligation and my duty to feed the poor, to be kind, to be generous, to be forgiving as much as I can. But of course, no one's perfect, and so I'm going to fall and fail and mess up. That's only if we read the scripture as a duty and an obligation, as a rule book. John isn't that at all. And the reason why John almost didn't make it, it's because John wants to go very deep into the process of understanding why Jesus said what he said. Also, what does the individual, he or she, need to do to, in fact, not just understand the Word of God, but to become it, to be transformed by it, so that we want to become this mercy, this kindness, this generosity at all times and in every circumstance. So in the early church, when they looked at the Gospel of John, they thought it was too close to the Gnostics. And the Gnostics at that time was a form of philosophy or a belief or mindset, was that if you had this special knowledge, this special understanding, then the truths of the universe, the truths of God would be revealed to you. But you had to have this special knowledge. And John tends to come off that way with the language that is used to be a Gnostic. Of course, John wasn't at all, nor is within the Gospel of John about having a special knowledge that is used to unlock the keys and the mystery of God. What John was saying, and in these first three lines at least, this is actually the process of coming to be known by God. It's a total reversal. We have approached God and the scriptures, almost everything in life, by knowing it. I know it. I understand it. I probe it. I whatever. It's always about me looking at the other. So what I am imposing upon the other is my point of view, my understanding, my interpretation. But what John attempts to encourage the listener to do is to stop doing the interpretation, but allow ourselves to be probed, to be understood, to be challenged, to be transformed, to be undone. So let us look at why John's gospel, in this very short passage, why it could have been seen as somewhat dangerous and something that perhaps we wouldn't want to have as part of our canon scripture. It begins with this first line, "My sheep hear my voice." We're not farmers any longer, so let's change that word sheep to children. My children hear my voice. If we were to allow those words to sink in, my children, God's children, we are his children. We could just stop there and sit with that. My children, we are God's children. Why would we think of ourselves as anything less? Why would we think ourselves as servants, slaves, strangers, people who are duty-bound or need to do all of these strange and peculiar things to get our parents' attention? If we are God's children, then we have been created by our God from a place and out of a source of love, of wholeness, of goodness. So when Jesus spoke these words, "My children," he is speaking in that unison, in that one voice with God, as God, "My children, hear my voice." Imagine if we actually heard God's voice. But in order to hear God's voice, it means I have to shut up. Stop talking at God. Stop requesting. Stop thanking. But start to listen. "My children, hear my voice." And when we hear God's voice, it's not out of the blue. It's not as a stranger. But we recognize it. We acknowledge it as something that is not just familiar, but it is that which is the very ground, the very source of our being, and we recognize it for what it is. This is the voice of God that I am hearing. What this voice does within us, it is like a wave that goes through us, and it unsettles us, it unnerves us, it knits us together, it creates a wholeness, it opens us up, it expands us, it embraces us, holds us together. But there is zero fear within us. When we hear this voice, hear it, and allow ourselves to hear it as it is, not with our interpretation, not with our desires or our ends, but instead allowing it to be spoken in us. Not according to my will, not according to my desire, but as it is. It then enlivens us from the inside out, and what emerges is the echo of God's very being in us and through us and outwardly. What it does, it brings to the surface anything and everything that is not us. Anything and everything that is not going to help us to be whole. Anything and everything that blinds us to the reality of God, who is everywhere, always, without end. So God knows us, and we follow God. To say that God knows us, how we could appreciate this perhaps is that God knows everything there is about us. Not our potential, not who we can become, but who we are in this very moment. Everything that we are experiencing in this very time frame. And is content to be with us in this moment, to have that conversation with us, to speak to us. And the following of God isn't simply a matter, I'm going to do whatever God tells me to do, like some obedient slave or servant, but to follow the voice. Following the voice that takes us to where it is beyond our imagination of who we are or who we could possibly be. But it is simply to follow ourselves into this wholeness and this oneness that is already present within us. It's not something we create, but it's something that we already are. So by God knowing us, this is the act of creation. And to follow God is to accept it. So when Jesus says, "And I give them eternal life, and they will never perish," this is not necessarily, and I would almost say not at all, about the afterlife. I give them eternal life. I give them God's self, who is eternal life. No beginning, no end. Timelessness. This is given to us in this lifetime, and we can receive it. And if we do receive it, then we will never perish, meaning there is nothing to fear, there is nothing to dread. We become one with that eternity. And so when Jesus finally says, "What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand." Because the thing is, if we become that wholeness and that oneness in God by allowing ourselves to see all things and hear all things within and without from God, in God, and through God, annihilating all of our interpretations of everything, but seeing and hearing reality as it truly is, then what can possibly be taken away from us? Because we have released anything and everything that would detract us from eternal life, from God. There is no perishing. We, here and now, are eternal life. And when that blink of an eye, we move to this other reality, there is no fear, shame, guilt, regret. There is only joy. But we have lived it here and now. So when Jesus finally says, "And the Father and I are one," we can say, "The Father and I are one." This is what Jesus was leading us towards, that we can actually say these words, that God and each one of us are one with God, with ourselves, with one another, with all of creation. There is no us, them. There is no division or separation. There's only wholeness, which is eternal, continuous, without exception. This is the danger of John's gospel. Because the moment we become whole and one in God and with God and through God, there is no power, no thought, no institution that holds sway over you any longer. You have within yourself the divine. So my friends, let us sit with God and shut up. Listen to the movement of God within us, and let the truth of God's being release us from our finite existence. Allow ourselves to unfold and to become. Just as the Father and Jesus are one, let us all become one with God, hearing God's voice, following God's voice, because there's nothing to perish.